This week's parsha is Achimos and Kedoshim, and Kedoshim in particular is chock full of mitzvos. What I'd like to do is perhaps to briefly combine both parshios, and then to focus specifically on one particular pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Achimos begins with the instructions that are given to the Kohen Gadol in terms of how the Kohen Gadol is what the Kohen Gadol is supposed to do on Yom Kippur, the avoda, the special service on Yom Kippur, how he's allowed to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. And when we think about Yom Kippur, today, unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Kohen Gadol. In fact, we emphasize this in Musaf, after in the Musaf Chazaras HaShatz. After the we actually talk about the avoda, we spend a significant amount of time going through exactly what the Kohen Gadol would do on Yom Kippur. We talk about the Kach HaYamona. You would count achas, achas v'achas. But a very powerful part of the Musaf Amidah or the Chazaras HaShatz is going through the Korim and the bowing down. But then after we go through all of that, we then for Soloveitchik, I think once said, basically it seems like Yom Kippur turns into Tisha B'Av because all of a sudden we start bewailing the fact that Oy lanu, woe to us, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Kohen Gadol, and we go on and on and on lamenting that fact, and then it leads into the Asar Haruge Malchus, the martyrs, and so that's yeah. So this is a major part of of the Yom Kippur, and for us nowadays, since we don't have the Kohen Gadol and all the korbanos, all these special sacrifices. So I think for many people, the major focus what also gets repeated over and over again is the vidoy, the confession. The Kohen Gadol would confess on behalf of the entire Jewish people, but we have our individual confession that we recite throughout the duration of Yom Kippur, both at night as well as during the day. Even Erev Yom Kippur, during Mincha, we say a vidoy. And one of the statements that we say during the vidoy is the following. This is towards the beginning. We say al chet shechatanu fanecha begaloi uvaseser, that we admit the sin that we committed before you, God, that was galoi, that was open, revealed, uvaseser, and was in private. In other words, there's sometimes that we commit sins out in the open, and that we just unfortunately do things that are public. We might speak lashon hara in public. We might not properly observe certain kosher laws in public, things of that nature. And then there's certain things that we do behind closed doors. We do b'seisr. We hope no one sees. We hope no one's looking. We're ashamed to do it in public. And yet, and so we admit it on Yom Kippur. But of course, we're also acknowledging the fact that Hashem knows about it. Right, that Hashem very much knows what's happening, even in private. We might try to hide from other people, but Hashem knows our thoughts. He sees our actions. In fact, we say this at the end of the Torah: "Hanistaros Hashem, Aniglos Lanu, that which is revealed is to us, and Nistaros, that which is hidden, is Hashem. Hashem knows about it. So Hashem knows about everything that we do in private." And on Yom Kippur, we're acknowledging that, yeah, we know we did these wrong things. No one saw it. But of course, Hashem is aware. And we have to confess those sins that we commit not only in public, but in private as well. So using that as an introduction, there is a Rashi in the Parshas Kedoshim, where Rashi comments on one particular pasuk. Very egregious type of sin that a person can commit. The very famous pasuk. This is a Perek Yutes, pasuk Yud Daled. It's at the very end of it's at the very end of the first Aliyah in Parshas Kedoshim. Lo sikalel chayresh lifnei iver. Lo Person shouldn't curse the one who's chayresh, the one who's deaf, the deaf mute. There before the blind, lo sitain mechshol, you shouldn't place a stumbling block. And then the pasuk concludes, the erasim el kach, and you shall fear God. Ani Hashem, I am God. Ani Hashem. So Rashi is bothered by this. What's the Yarisa Melokacha? Why does it say that you shall fear God? As opposed, it doesn't say that with many of the other upsukim and many of the other mitzvahs that appear in this week's parsha. The Rashi tells us the following. We got the exact words. V'yareisa me'elokecha, and you shall fear God. L'fisha dover hazeh inu masu l'brios. Leida im daito shel zeh l'tova o l'ra. V'yachol yishamet v'loma l'tova niskavanti. L'fichach nemer bo v'yareisa me'elokecha hamakir machshav osecha. That we'll see in a moment, but the way our rabbis understand these two prohibitions is that you're committing an act and it's not clear to other people that you're doing something wrong. You could have very bad intentions, but it's not clear to anyone else that your intention is for ra, for evil. In fact, people might think actually you're doing something good, when in fact you know deep down inside I'm doing something bad. Now, if no one knows about it, so maybe I can get away with it. So it comes along the pasuk v'areisim l'kecha. No, fear God, because Hashem is very much aware of what you're doing. Hashem knows your thoughts and Hashem knows your intent. And Rashi concludes, "V'chein chol davar hamaser l'libo shel adam hoseo vein shar brios makiros bo." Anytime he says in the Torah where something is that you know that you're doing something wrong, but no one else knows about it, so the Torah will always say, "V'yareisem el kecha." The Torah will always say, "Fear God," because you should know that God very much is aware and knows your thoughts, knows your intent, and if you're doing something wrong, God's not going to forget about it, and therefore, obviously, you should stay far away from doing that particular behavior. And in fact, this phrase "Bereisim Elokacha" it appears five times, throughout the Torah, where you have this this expression. And Rashi will tell us that whenever this occurs, that the Hashem knows what's going on. So there's one other example that appears in this week's Parsha. We're told, Mipnei, another famous pasuk, Mipnei Seiva Takum, you shall rise in the presence of the elderly, Adarta Pnei Zakein, and you shall have honor, you shall honor the presence of the elderly, Bereisim Lekach, and you shall fear God, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. And again, Rashi says that this as well, and this is given over to a person's heart. No one concern, only you. In other words, you might be on the bus. I never give the example. You're on the bus to Yerushalayim. An old person walks on the bus. The question is, do you stand up and let them have the seat? So you can pretend that you never saw them, right? You can quickly turn your face, and no one saw that you turned your face, and you, therefore, no one's going to think badly that you're not doing the proper thing because you never saw the person, but you did see them. You just quickly turned around before anyone could see you. But who knows that you saw that person and that you're playing games? Reisim lakacha, right? Hashem knows. Again, the whole davar must believe never bov reisim lakacha. Anytime it says that God knows what you're doing, God knows your thoughts, it says reisim lakacha. Again, there's a few more examples throughout the Torah where you find this as well. The question now is, so this is what we're saying on Yom Kippur, right? We have to acknowledge that this is a sin. Now, sometimes we do things begully, sometimes it's obvious that we're doing a sin, everyone knows we're sinning, and sometimes it's faithful, sometimes it's in private, that no one knows that we're sinning, but Hashem is aware that we're sinning. So the question then is back to our pasuk of, again, this very famous pasuk, Lo Sechalel Cheresh, of not to curse the one who is deaf. And before the blind, lo titein mechshol. So the question is, why is that beseser? Right? Why is that hidden? Because the simple reading of the pasuk seems to be that it's not hidden. Right? The simple level of the pasuk, certainly the pasuk regarding lifnei iver lo titein mechshol, seems to be very obvious what's going on. Right, if you put a stumbling block, you put a rock on the floor, you see a blind person is coming, and they're not going to see it, they're going to rock over it. So everyone around you is going to see what you're doing. Everyone's going to be clearly that you and the blind person is going to know that you played some game on some trick on them to put that put that item there where it's normally not. So what, why do we say that this, no, this is baseser, that this is hidden? No one knows what you're doing. So our rabbi spent a lot of time talking about these prohibitions, what exactly it is that you're doing, which is wrong. So I'll just read. Rashi first says, "Lo sikalel charesh, in li ela charesh." Minayin the rabbis call Adam tamalomar bamcha lo taor. So Rashi bothered by the fact, what, you're only not allowed to curse the charesh, the person is deaf, but you're allowed to curse anyone else. When we mean curse, it means making fun of it. It means mocking. It means late someone who's always joking around and being unharsh, unfair, unkind to another person is not deserving. But that could be referring to anyone. And so the Gemara asked that question. The Gemara says, "This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin that this should apply to anyone." Because in fact, earlier on in Parshas Mishpatim, it actually talks about not cursing the Nasi, the prince, the king, the ruler. You're not supposed to do this as well. So it says, no, it's talking about someone who's alive. This applies to anyone who's alive. You have this rule applies. The Gemara in Sanhedrin goes even further and says that the Torah presents the extremes. Presents the Cheresh on the one hand, on the other hand, it presents the Nasi to show that the most exalted, to maybe in your eyes, the one who is lowest on the totem pole, that this applies to everyone. And when it comes to cursing, again, when we refer to cursing, what we mean is making fun of, derision, speaking badly about. So often that person who you speak badly about does not know that you said it. It's either you said, and it's often this lashon hara. You said it to, you shared it with other people. You said it to yourself. You said you're mocking someone, and the Torah therefore says you can't do that. Right? The Torah says that you're not allowed to do this. And again, it could be that the person who you're speaking poorly about doesn't know about it. It's baseser. It's hidden. Right? It's not revealed. The person's never going to know what you did. But we'll see in a second when it comes to the next part of the pasuk. Sometimes that behavior can be extremely damaging, right? You could have someone, let's say you have a situation. I think the example the Gemara gives is like you can have, let's say, a ruler, who has to make certain decisions and the people have to listen. And let's say you share this like terrible news about that person. Now everyone loses respect about that person, and now they're not listening. They're not following instructions. And the leader has no reason what we know why you why is no one listening, why is no one paying attention, why is no one not why don't know why no one has allegiance for me anymore. They have no idea. It was Beseser. Again, it's hidden, it's from them. That wasn't not revealed to them. It could be extremely damaging your words. Again, and this happens can happen for a ruler, and this could happen for anyone in any situation. We often talk about this is the danger of lashon hara, that you speak poorly about someone else, someone doesn't realize why they're not getting any shidduchim being read to them. No, or why they're getting a job. Someone shared, terrible misinformation about someone, and as a result, they're being harmed, and they don't know that you harmed them. They're not even certain what's happening. So if you're racing melkecha, so God says, I'm paying attention. Right? I know exactly what's going on. Don't think you can get away with it. Sharing that damaging information where it's unwarranted to share that information, right? I'm aware of it. So that's the first pasuk. That's the chalel cheresh, right? Again, it doesn't mean just mocking someone. And the rabbis understand it's not just mocking someone who can't hear you physically, someone who physically is deaf and they can't hear the bad things. This means someone who just doesn't know that you're someone who can hear fine, but you're saying the bad thing, not near them, and therefore they have no idea that you shared this terrible information, and now it's harming them to such a degree. So that's the first part of the pasuk, and then where Chazal spent a lot of time talking about is the next phrase: "Lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol." Before the blind, don't place a stumbling block. So again, the simple explanation, it means don't put a rock on the floor; this blind person will trip. But our rabbis don't take it. Now, of course, you shouldn't do that. But our rabbis don't take it literally. Why don't they read it literally? because there's a problem with the Hebrew words. It says if they there before the blind. So if it would have been not, you shouldn't place a stumbling block. It should have said lifnei aver lo tasim michshol. Don't place a stumbling block. But it doesn't say lo tasim. It says lo titain. What does lo titain mean? Don't give. What do you mean? So don't give a stumbling block. That's not proper Hebrew, not proper English. What do you mean not to give a stumbling block? Well, I'll give you a few examples how the rabbis understand this. And Rashi quotes from Chazal here with this pasuk. Rashi says, "Lefi hasuma bedavar." We're not talking about a blind person. We're talking about someone who's blind to what you're sharing to them. They don't realize what you're sharing is damaging. Lo titein eitza she'ina hogenes lo. Don't give someone bad advice. Al tomar machor sadcha v'kach lo chamor v'ata okef olav v'not lo himenu. I don't tell someone, you know what? Now's a great time to sell your field. Now's a great time to put your house up on the market. Or now's a great time to buy a donkey. This is a great time to buy a car. And what's happening? You're doing it to not to help them, but you're doing it to your advantage. Right, you know, you tell someone to put the house up on the market, and you tell them what a fair price would be to sell it. Either you purchase it for that much lower price, or you have someone on your behalf buy it for you. In other words, you're harming the person. The person, you tell them, oh, you're not going to get more than $100,000 for the house. Really, the house is worth $500,000. So you gave them lousy advice. They don't know any better. And now they lost so much money, and again you could be taking advantage of them for your own benefit, and so it's again Chazal understand it means lo titain michshol means don't give a stumbling block. You're giving a stumbling block by giving that person bad advice. So that's a Rashi cite from Chazal that this pasuk is referring to. There's a couple other Gemaras and Midrashim. Let's give one or two other examples. Where they say the following. The Gemara in Maseches Psachim says this also refers to spiritually bad advice or misleading someone. For example, Tanya Rabbi Nasan Omer, Minayim Shlo Yoshid Adam Kos Yain Lanazir, Vever Menachai Leben Noach, Tamaloba Lefnei Iver Lo Titein Rishol. How do you know? Let's say you invite a nazir over to your house for dinner. So you invite him over for dinner, and right, a nazir is not allowed to drink wine. And you give them a drink, and you tell them, "Oh, it's cranberry juice," or I don't know, it's like some. And really, you're giving them some form of grape juice, some sort of wine. So you're misleading them. You're telling them it's one thing; it's really it's something else. Or you invite the Ben Noach over for dinner, and you serve them Aver Menachai with it. You know, a limb from a live animal, which they're not allowed to eat. So you're not allowed to mislead someone religiously. You're not allowed to mislead someone. And there's a lot of halachic discussions about this regarding to what extent we have to be careful with this. I mean, we're not going to go through it now, but are you allowed to give food to someone who you know is not going to say a brach on it? And there's a lot of discussion about yes, no, under what situation, under what context. Can you invite someone to your house for a Shabbos meal when you know they're gonna drive? Yes, no, depends. It's a very involved the conversation, but it comes back to this. Don't place a stumbling block before the blind. Don't harm them. Not only cause them to trip, but don't cause them to make a to religiously be compromised in any way. Again, in addition to what we saw Rashi said about not financially giving them any bad advice. Another fascinating example that the Gemara says is this is in Moed Katan. The Gemara says, well, I'll give you first, it gives an example regarding, again, another spiritual pitfall. This is a source, one of the reasons why we do a Hakama Samatseva, why we put a stone next to a grave. There's a very practical reason why we do it. Obviously, we do it to honor the person who's passed away. But another practical reason is for Kohanim, that a Kohen should know that there's a dead body is buried here, and that they're not allowed to walk there. So you need to mark it. Right? If we wouldn't mark it, that would be a lifnei iver. We would be placing a stumbling block before the blind, the kohen, doesn't know that there's a body buried there. And then the Gemara says, in a totally different context, the Gemara says that Moed Katan, a little bit later on, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, b'makor libno hagadol akasa medaber. Fascinating. If you have an adult child and they do something wrong, they do something bad, you want to punish them, you want to show them that they did something wrong, says the Gemara, don't hit that child. Why shouldn't you hit the child? Because what's the child's natural reaction going to be when they get hit? And again, we're talking about like someone who's over the age of bar bat mitzvah. So the natural reaction is to hit back. It's like automatic. It's very hard to control oneself. But what happens if that child hits back and injures the parent and draws blood? That's a capital offense, right? You're not allowed to draw blood, kill. Again, the whole halachic discussion is a physician allowed to do a surgery on his or her parent because they're drawing blood. And the whole discussion whether save their lives is another choice to do it, but there's another doctor maybe that's better. If that doctor is equal or better than you, but the Gemara says here again, you're by you doing one action and that's going to cause someone else to do another action that's going to turn into a violation that would violate this prohibition of lifnei iver. And there's a whole lot of additional examples of situations where you could violate this prohibition of lifnei iver. The bottom line, again, I think with the Torah and way Chazal understand this pasuk is that that we as we often don't realize, or the Torah is warning us to remember that there's someone always watching us. Right, there's someone who knows our thoughts. That not everything can be adjudicated in Beit Din. Right, not everything. There's not always, in Jewish law, you need two witnesses to verify something. Sometimes we'll allow one witness is sufficient, but often you don't even have that one witness. Right, no one really knows what's going on in your head except for you, and other people can look in you and look in your actions, look in your behavior, and think that you're being so kind and generous. And you can even defend yourself, or you can even, if you told that person to sell the house for $100,000, it was really worth $500,000, and you knew you were playing games the whole time, you could always say, when the person comes to you, "Why'd you give me such terrible advice?" You could play dumb and say, "Oh, I really thought it was only worth $100,000. I didn't realize that the market went up." And you could give a rational answer, and the person say, "Okay, I accept. You didn't know." But Hashem knows that you always knew that you were giving bad advice. And no one else is going to know because it's only was in your head the whole time. And that's why the Torah is stressing, Rashi points out, right? It's so important to fear God. Because ultimately that's what it boils down to. What it boils down to is do you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right? Do you want to do the right thing in this world? As the parsha begins, Kedoshim to you shall be holy, Kikadosh Ani, because I am holy. Right? Do you want to mimic me? Says Hashem. Do you want to follow on me? Do you want to be elevated? Right? The Ramban famously says that Kedoshim Tiyu is novel Birshus HaTorah, that you can technically do everything right, but still not do things right. That you can give off a certain appearance, and everything looks okay, but really nothing is okay because you're not following the Torah's values. You're not following the Torah's dictates. You don't have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's fascinating, Parshas Kedoshim, over and over again, it keeps on saying, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem. He's sort of reminding us about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about why we're here and that Hashem expects great things from us. And that Hashem ultimately is watching over us. And Hashem knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. And he sees our actions and our behaviors. And that's the Mishnah that appears at the very beginning of the second parak in Perkei Avos. The Mishnah quotes Rebbe, the great Yehuda HaNasi, who's the redactor of the Mishnah, and he says towards the end of that first Mishnah, he says, "Histakel b'shlosh dvarim, you should be aware of three things. The ein ata bali de avera, you'll never sin if you really accept and embrace and recognize these three ideas. And what are those three ideas? They're three that are all the same. They're all one. Da mala mimcha, know what's above you. What's above you? Ayin roa, an eye that sees. And number two, ozen shomas, an ear that listens. Now, today we can very much understand this, you know, with modern technology, with all the with all the cameras that are out there today, and you know, there are ring doorbells and the every building now, everything gets captured nowadays, and people now have their Alexas, and that everything is heard, and everything is it's beautiful imagery in terms of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how this is all possible, this is all feasible, right? Especially with artificial intelligence, like we really understand this now, that there's something much more intelligent out there that is the that's the Ayin Roah, that's the eye that sees, that's the Ozen Shomas, that's the ear that listens, the Chol Maasecha, and all your deeds, the Sefer Nechtavim. Right, I'm not sure how all these technology devices work. Sometimes, like after 30 days, they automatically get erased, depending upon what kind of program you have. But not with Hashem. There's no 30-day, nothing expires after 30 days. It continues the Olam Vaad for all eternity. That all your deeds, all your actions are Nechtavim, are written down. Hashem remembers everything. As I began this year, that's the beginning of the double parsha, Achimos is Yom Kippur, and we make this we acknowledge this on Yom Kippur, right? Al Cheshachatan, the sins that we performed did before you, Bagoloi, those that are revealed, but Baseser, but those that are hidden as well. Hashem knows our thoughts, and Hashem knows our actions. And I just want to conclude in saying, perhaps that's even the greatest test. Right? The greatest test is what do we do Baseser. So again, we're always nervous, we're always looking over our shoulders. You know, what are people going to say? What are people going to, how are people going to react and respond to our deeds and our actions? But when we do things in private and no one knows what's going inside our head, we can make all the excuses in the world. We can say that I didn't know, I didn't realize, but Hashem knows what we were thinking all along. And certainly when it comes to how we interact with other people. How we can really harm people. The beginning of the pasuk was the cheresh, the deaf mute. And again, our rabbi suggests it could be referring to not someone who's physically deaf, but someone who doesn't know what you're doing. Someone doesn't even realize that you harm them. They don't realize, everything bad is happening to them now because you would say all these terrible things about them. So again, they're never going to find out, but Hashem knows. And lifnei iver, and before the blind. Again, it could be a person who's blind in terms of gave him bad advice without knowing, or spiritually you harmed them, or you did something to them like the child, and that's going to automatically cause a reaction that's going to get them into trouble. So all those things, you have to be very, very careful in terms of what you do, what you say, and what actions you take, and ultimately to remember, as it says in Perkei Avos. That what's above you, to remember that Hashem is watching over you, and I think that it's not just God with that stick is out to get you, and God wants to punish you, but God wants you to be a great person, and God wants you to do the right thing. Hashem wants a relationship with us, and we ultimately, I think this could be like a test for us, and something that can help us understand how close we are with Hashem. When we're so careful about these things, right? When we do the right thing, even Baseser, we reach the level where we recognize that, yeah, there is Hashem in our life. Hashem is always watching over us, and Hashem is always thinking about us, and Hashem is constantly expecting great things from us. And therefore, it's perhaps one of the greatest things that we can do is that even when things are Baseser, even when things are hidden, if we're still able to do the right thing, so it shows that we're on track. And shows that ultimately we have this recognition of Ani Hashem, that Hashem is ever present in our lives. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.